first get into the Word. Amen. And then we shall do the engagement service later on. Shall we just stand for the reading of God's Word? I want to welcome all visitors who are here. Just feel at home. We are just gathered here for the fellowship around the Word. Let us go to Ephesians 4, verse
7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7.
I want us to look at a thought that I call measure of gift. No. What is a gift? I'm making remarkable progress. I've been correcting his bemba several times. Ephesians 4, verse 7. If you have a Bible, if you know how to read, and if your voice is working, let us read together. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we now approach your throne, the throne of your word. We now want to arrest every thought, every imagination, every staggering idea. Lord, we want to arrest it for it to come under the obedience of Christ. Help us, Lord, as we are in service now. We are weak, but you are strong in us. As your word goes forth, may it fulfill its purpose in the heart of every person that is here. We invite your Holy Spirit to help us now. May you grant revelation to the preacher that the word may be spoken with inspiration. May you grant faith to the hearer that your word may be received in faith. We pray for all our visitors. May they find it a blessing for having been here. We pray for the occasion that shall shortly follow later on, that Heavenly Father, you may bless everything that's going to take place here. We are so thankful, Lord, for all these wonderful things you've done for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, saints. The Word of God mentions something here. Unto how many of us in here? Does it say unto the pastor only, or the deacon, or the singer? Is that what it says?
No.
Let's say it together. But unto everyone of us is given what? What is grace? Grace is favor. Grace is a blessing. Grace is something, a favor which God puts on you.
Now
each and everyone here, God has given you grace. However, the grace we are given is not in the same measure, so to speak. We are not talking about salvation grace here. We are talking about grace, which is a blessing God puts on you to achieve the purpose you need to fulfill in this life. Now, listen to what I said. All of us have been given grace. But it's not in the same measure. Let's hear what the scripture says. Unto every one of us is given grace according to what? See it there. The grace you are given is according to the measure of what? The gift that God has put in you. Grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what is a gift? A gift is something God puts in us, God gives you. And it comes in different forms. Even life itself, for you to be able to breathe, that's a gift. Whatever you can achieve in life, that's God's gift. Praise the Lord. Now, when God is giving something, He does not give anyhow. He measures what He gives. Because He is not a careless giver. He measures what He gives. So, because when He gives you a gift, He wants to bless that gift with grace, with favor. Because there is nothing in us that can manifest the gift of God by our efforts. You know, a gift is like a vehicle. I can give you a gift of a vehicle, a car. But for that car to move, it needs the grace of fuel, right? Are we together?
Yeah.
So the grace of fuel is given not for a car to look beautiful, but for a car to achieve its purpose. Is that making sense? If I have a vehicle, and then someone says, I'll put in fuel for
you.
Now, how much of fuel can he give me? It depends on the measure of the fuel tank. If your tank is 60 liters, the person loading fuel there can never go beyond 60 liters. Because God does not let not even a drop of his fuel fall to the ground. So, unto every one of us. Now, God has given you a gift. But he needs to supply fuel for that gift to work. This fuel is grace. Now this fuel, the grace, is supplied according to the measure of the gift in you. According to the measure of the fuel tank. But here is something interesting. The fuel tank God gives, or the gift God gives, it's not a solid metal which is measured fixed like 60 liters. In the economy of God, the fuel tank gives you, it can stretch according to your commitment you are showing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you have a gift. Tell the other one, you have a gift. Here is something. God never creates junk. Junk is something useless. There is no human being God made who is useless. It is we ourselves who can make ourselves junk. As long as you are here, as long as you are breathing, whatever you have is a gift from God. The question is, what will you do with your life? Romans 12:6. Shall we read? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So a gift can only operate according to the proportion of faith. You see, the grace God gives you can never go beyond the measure of your gift. Neither can you live beyond your faith. Let's look at it this way. God has invested potential in you. Let's say God has put 60 liters fuel in you. And you are full to capacity. Let's say that's the measure of the tank in you. The whole tank is full. That does not mean you will move or drive according to the measure of how full your tank is. There was a time a friend in Namibia was telling me a story. He was laughing. He says, my friend bought a Hilux. Big vehicle. And you know, brand new. Big tank. But every day he only uses it to drive it from home up to work. And work is just 15 meters. And he says it's been a whole year, he has never driven it on a long distance. So this friend of mine was busy laughing. He says, oh, how do you buy such a big vehicle and you just drive from here to there? Now, you know, you can even feel that vehicle, full tank, right? But is the vehicle fulfilling its purpose? No. The fuel is being wasted, right? Is that correct? Maybe that person, what he needed was a bicycle or just his legs. Now, God can never, this is for illustration purposes, okay? God is very careful in giving vehicles. He won't give you a very powerful engine if you are just walking from here up to the end of the road. He gives his grace according to the measure of the gift. Are we here this morning? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us go to 2 Kings 4:6.
Chapter 4:6.
And it came to pass, when the vessels were full. Now, let us start from verse 3. Okay, verse 2. This is a poor woman. She was in debt. She went to meet Elisha the prophet. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" What? A beautiful question. Imagine if God was asking you, "What should I do for you?" What will you say? What are things in your heart? What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, "Thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Listen carefully to the way she answered. "I don't have anything in the house except just a pot of oil." In other words, she despised even the amount of oil she had. But yet there was a big providence God had, which was waiting for her. But she was limiting her experience by the little pot of oil in the house. A pot of oil, that's what she called it. Are you able to see in her words she didn't attach value to it? Are you able to see that? Are you able to see that in her words? "I have nothing except a pot of oil." I mean, what can that thing do? Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Borrow not a few. Why? Something great will come out of the small pot of oil. Your eyes see it's a little size. But like I told you, in the economy of God, that size of a gift, that size of a tank can stretch according to your faith. The prophet did not say, "Let me see how small it is." No. His eyes were looking at the providence of God. What did he say? "Go borrow as many as you can. Don't borrow a few." Something great was about to happen to the small pot of oil. Why? It's not about what is in that small pot. Something can stretch the size of that oil. What will stretch it? How many bottles and vessels she'll borrow. That is what will determine how much oil will come out of the small pot. How many more vessels is she willing to borrow? Did the prophet put any limit? He says, "Borrow as many as you can." What grace! What an offer! It all depends on how many you can borrow. Now, you see, that's a test of God. God did not first show her 10,000 liters of oil. No. God only showed her the small pot of oil. Say, "Go borrow not a few." Are you seeing the check God gives you? Now, let's imagine her in our minds. She goes to the neighbor. She gets. Are these the only ones? Yes, she goes to another neighbor. Muliko na drum.
Afanya mkatako drum.
Yes, they give her.
Bampera.
Then she goes somewhere. Let's say she sees a 10,000 liter tank. What will she start thinking? Now, if you were the woman, you've seen me coming with like a 5 liters container of cooking oil. Then I say, thus saith the Lord, go and borrow as many containers as you can. I want to share this oil with you. The first thing you're going to think is, how do I borrow as many? But I mean, that's 5 liters, right? But no, it's not about that. I have said, thus saith the Lord. Okay, let's say you have faith. Picture yourself. You go to your neighbor. You know what you have in your mind? Is the 5 liters I've come with. You will borrow according to what your eyes saw. But if you have faith, you won't borrow by sight. You will borrow by thus saith the Lord. But you know our limitation is this test we are seeing in my hands, the 5 liters. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to thus saith the Lord. Borrow as much as you can. So maybe you borrow a 10 liters, you borrow. Then you go out a certain house and you find a 10,000 liters. You know, there will be a lot of battle and conflict in your mind. That man has come with 5 liters. Will it make sense? You even hire a vehicle with the 10,000 liters. The prophecy say, borrow not a few. Now see what happened. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So now she is taught, when you come with all the containers, close yourself in the room and start pouring the oil in all those containers. So she knew there was a divine promise, right? So what will she do as she goes to borrow? Now notice, when a container is full, set it aside. Because God's grace, favor, should never drop on the ground. So when a container is full, what do? Set it up. No drop should be wasted. You remember when Jesus fed 4,000 people? People ate. There were crumbs of bread. There were crumbs of fish. What did he tell the disciples? Who reads the Bible? What did he tell the disciples? Pick every crumb which has been left. Pack it in the vessels. God never lets his grace fall to the ground. He says, pick every crumb. Wherever they use that, I don't know. It won't be allowed to rot. If animals have to be given, they have to be given. A blessing of God has to be consumed. Amen.
Amen.
So now, see what happened. The 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And then what happened? And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. In other words, Vasira, voice of Aminitens Tabwereka, Vapera. So when Then the young man said, there's no more container. Then what happened? Shall we all read it? And the oil stayed. In other words, the oil stopped. Did you hear that? What made the oil stop? There was no more room. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus healed a person, he always said, according to your faith, you've received your healing. It's according to your faith. Here's what I have for you, sons. There's a gift in you. That gift can grow. When that gift grows, God increases the grace upon that gift. So, it should be your desire for your gift to grow. But there are three things which can hinder the growth of a gift. There are so many things God has given you. Whether it's a skill which enables you to feed your family, whether it is a spiritual gift in the house of God, there is no gift which was meant to remain where it is for a long time. Our gifts need to grow. But three things can hinder the growth of your gift. Are you interested in listening to things that can hinder your growth? Number one, not valuing the gift God has given you. No, let's put it in another way. You don't value it. You know what it means to value something? I have a saxophone here. It's not a cheap instrument, you know? I carry it carefully. There are special things I buy to keep it working properly. There's a grease I need to buy to always oil the a certain part. After playing it for some time, I need to clean it. Because these instruments, as you blow, air builds up, water. Vapor. So that vapor can start corroding it. Izamba ku kongozoka. Okay? So you need to clean and swab it, and you don't use any kind of cloth. So every now and then I try to dust it off, you know. Why? It has value for me. Now, you can give the same instrument maybe to another person. They'll say, oh, thank you so much. Maybe the whole year they don't clean it. Oh, another day, oh, mwana chipone sapansi. You know, it falls on the ground. It means the person does not value that thing. Now, if I tell the person to say, oh, here it has a dent, you broke it here. Says, oh, yeah, I saw that. I'll work on it one day. The person is answering like that to try to show like they care. But how you value something is not by the words you speak. It's by your actions towards that thing. Actions are what shows whether you value it or you don't value it. And you know what? Things we don't value, we spoil them. Have you ever noticed that? If you don't value something, sooner or later, it will be spoiled. Hey, as our visitors come, please give them proper chairs. We don't want them to fall off. Okay? So, things you value, you want to take care of them so that they live long with you. And how do we see that you value something? It's not by saying, oh, you know me, I love this thing, I take care of it. Your actions will show. When you care for something, your heart is always after it. How is someone handling it? Like for this, I don't allow someone to say, oh, the service is over, let me pack it. I don't allow anyone to touch it. Because one important rule with brass instruments, it should never fall. Once it falls, keys will go out of alignment. And repairing it does not come cheap. So something you value, you are very protective of it. My question to you is, do you value the gift God put in you? Remember the unprofitable servant. There were those three men. They were all given a gift. Is that correct?
Amen.
The first one, hey, he was given more. 5 talents. He doubled it. He invested. He took care of that gift. He multiplied. He increased it. When he lent out money, which he was given, he wrote down who is the person who has borrowed. And he didn't just lend out to anyone. He lent out people who were credit worthy, people who could pay back with interest. When it was towards month end, he went, he followed them. I have come to get the interest. He was a diligent servant. When it was near month end, he went through all the people who borrowed from him. He did not want to lose a penny. He didn't want to lose a ngwe. That's a profitable servant. He was watching where every ngwe was going. And you know what? By the time his master came, he had a smile. He said, "Master, here is what you gave me. I managed to double it." The master was smiling. Very good servant. I am promoting you. I am promoting you. You will now be in charge of ruling this category of my estates. The second servant, you, what did you do? The master, you gave me 2. And I now have 4. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Hey, look at the third guy. He had anger issues. You know him, he says, in his mind, manjene wanani faka pat. Uja wanani pasa 5. Uja 2. Yini wanani pasa kamwazi. Wenze ni gani zila chani. He took it and buried it. Wazaka kapeza kamene akakamene wanani pasa. You know there are people with that attitude. Do you know there are people that are
shocked?
When God gives them something, instead of them focusing on that, they start comparing what God has given to others. Hear me. God gives according to the measure of your ability. But do you know the one with the one talent, if he had the right attitude, right thinking framework, do you know he had ability to grow it? Because whatever God gives is a test. Because somewhere in his economics is a hidden secret that the first can be the last. If the guy with one talent was humble enough, there is a possibility he can even exceed one what five talents. That's God's secret. It depends on how empty and available you are. That's it. Remember what Jesus said? John was the greatest prophet. But if you can be humble, he says there is a possibility you could be greater. Because in the economy of God, the more you become nothing, the greater he lifts you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And the way we measure greatness is not the way human beings measure greatness in the economy of God. Greatness is measured by how nothing you are. Because the more God takes over, it's him who becomes greatness, not you. So the more you let him, the greater that gift grows and increases. Why? It's no longer about you, it's him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So now, if you don't value what God has given you, it won't grow. I don't care what your reasons are. If you don't see any worth in that, it will never grow. But if you cherish it to say, God has given me this, if it's the only thing he has given me, I want to serve him faithfully, you see that gift growing. Remember, gifts are not for talent show. It's for serving God. Why am I preaching here? I'm reporting for work. It's not for some crazy guys to start calling papa, papa. It's delivering the goods so that someone is helped, someone is lifted up. When that person excels, when that person puts his gift in operation, then a purpose is being fulfilled. So my question number one to you is, do you value what God has given you? Quickly, Psalm 78, verse 16. No, you know what? Let's go to Numbers first. Let's go to Numbers 11, verse 4. I want you to see people who did not value what God had given them. God gave them abundance. God gave them miracles. God gave them all these things, but they did not value them. Numbers 11, verse 4. These are children of
Israel.
They're in the wilderness. Now listen to what happened. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, They are hungry. God has delivered them from slavery. In slavery, they didn't have freedom. They worked with a whip on their backs. They even cried. Brother, don't get closer to the saxophone, it will drop. You know, they were being whipped. That was Egypt. Listen to me, brothers. There is nothing good about slavery. I don't care if they give you bread and butter every morning. There's nothing good about slavery. You are not free. But you know what happened? They fell hungry. And that hunger made them to think about Egypt. This is what they said. Verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Really? Did they eat it freely? Takumbuka nsomba elo yuwenze ipika buino. That is stupidity. A slave has no freedom. It doesn't mean when you are served good, nice food that the people love you. Look here. If you have a chicken which has grown on its own in the world, we call it free range. And then there's a hybrid chicken. Do you know that a hybrid chicken is a slave? Do you know they build a nice house for it? You know that? You know they give it medication? Chikadwara, chikakosomolo, wachipasa.
Wapela muti.
Wachipasa vaccine.
Wachipela miti.
Usiku swazi miyamalaita. Fani kazijie. They buy feed. Surely, if you had a conversation with a hybrid chicken, it would tell you, my master loves me. Breakfast free. Lunch free. Kupyanga bati pyangila. Tikashita pupu wakilina. My master loves me. Then the poor village chicken from the window. Say, iwe namvera muliro kubangu payani. Kulibe tabwino mo, you are caged. Say, look at you, how poor you look, how dirty you look. It thinks that is love. Nishimwine apenda na mafiga zikuti na
apenda nenda lama.
Aba wana guli ratu hawa. Chefe chiesa semu, this is good. This is life. That's how this world is. I'm telling you.
Amen.
A life of a Christian, we look so rugged. But I tell you, there's life in what we do. Even these young people we're engaging this morning, there is the way the world defines beauty. There is the way the word of God defines beauty. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now look at this man. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers. And the melons. And the leeks. And the onions. You can imagine they are listing every food item. Tenzekuja. Ma watermelon, tenzekuja. Nsomba, tenzekuja.
Valeria.
And they are speaking it so that Moses hears it. How do you think Moses was feeling? Imagine you've delivered people from the slavery and here they are. When Moses says, then they make fun of that. Mana kulibe na watermelon ka?
Atakuna watermelon.
Nanga nsomba wa Moses bwana. Kulibe ka?
Atakulika.
They're trying to make him remember that in Egypt we were better off.
Atwale mwisho quick so that in Egypt tuwalipi no.
But be careful, foolish man. God hears what you speak. See what happened. Verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Can you imagine what they said concerning manna? Akuti Moses ona kwa meno hati bweresa kuno tikumba kuja mana every day mana kulibe nsomba kulibe mamelonzi
amose mwenoko mwatuleta kuno takulisa vita kuna mwota melonzi takulifili fionse
kwenze kunyoza
wali ukuponta
chisomo mwenungu chana wapasa
uluse ole saba pere.
They were despising the manna God gave them.
Vale ponte la manna le saba pere.
Look at verse 20. God got angry. Let's read verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled. Can you imagine? Wanachita na marilo. Kutisiti kuja bueno. Sinde mamene tenze nkalira so. Ku Egypt tenze bueno.
Ku Egypt ki tuare kala bueno.
Vamba na kulira.
Vamba na kulira.
And then God heard that. One time God heard their cry. They were crying for God to deliver them from slavery. Now, they are crying that we are only eating manna. We are not eating properly. That's the problem of emotion. When someone gets emotional, they only think what is at present. They forget the value of what God has given them. Then God sent them meat. Listen to verse 20. But even a whole month, now Moses tells them, God tells them, says, I'm giving you a lot of meat now. Verse 20, but even a whole month until it came out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? So God was angry. He says, I'll give you meat until the smell of meat will be terrible in your nostrils. Psalm 78, verse 16. Let's quickly rush. We go to the engagement. Psalm 78, verse 16.
Psalm 78, verse 16.
He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yeah, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? This is a terrible attitude. Let me cut it short this way. Wherever you are right now in life, whatever job you have, whatever amount of food you have in your home, there is another person who is praying if they can reach the level where you are. Did you hear what I said? Where you are is another person's prayer point. That is why you need to be thankful. You know, the Bible tells us to give requests to God of what we need. But what does the Bible say? In Philippians 4 verse 6, don't be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, then it says with thanksgiving. let your request be made known unto the Lord. So when you are making your request known to the Lord, express your thankfulness first for what he has provided you. It shows to God you value what he has given you. If you are not thankful, na tungono to amina urina to azaku poka. Number two, things that can hinder the growth of your gift is an unhealthy environment. God can give you a good thing, but if where it is there is dirty, the place where it is not swept properly, the environment can destroy a precious thing. Is that true? So you don't just let a thing, so it was a gift, it's there, dust is falling on it. Birds and insects come, they put their droppings there. Environment can destroy a gift. Now, when I speak of environment, we are speaking of both the external environment and the internal environment of your heart. Let us read Numbers 14, verse 26. Numbers 14, verse 26. Numbers 14, verse 26. These children of Israel were very rebellious. It was a very bad environment of people. But I want to tell you that no matter how bad that environment was, there were some people in their dwelling places, they made a clean environment. They told their families, don't complain about this. It's God who took us out of Egypt. Let's not complain. God will see us through. There were people, despite a bad environment, they maintained their spaces to say, let those not believe, but me, my space, I'll keep faith. Let's read Numbers 14, verse 3. Listen to the complaints of the people. Let's start from verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Can you imagine that? You know, I salute Moses. He was a great leader. Imagine the people you've delivered. They're telling you, why didn't we die in Egypt? Why have you brought us here? Are there better graveyards here? And they said one to another, let... Now, listen to verse 4. Listen.
Verse 4.
Look at the rebellion which they are doing. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. You know what they're telling Moses? You don't have leadership skills. We want to make our own captain. That's how bad they were. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun. Listen to Joshua. So there were people, despite how bad the environment was, there were people who had integrity in God's promises. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Joshua, he heard what the people were speaking. Caleb, his friend, also they heard. When they say, let's make ourselves the captain. Joshua and Caleb were so angry, they tore their clothes. This was a very emotional event. Huh? Many times we read about Moses, we think, oh, things were going smoothly. It was a very violent event. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then you bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Joshua is busy giving encouragement. Let us not fear. We'll defeat those people. Now, you know, there was a report which came at Kulivivana Vana Kinivikali. We are like grasshoppers. And here Joshua says, we are more than able. We will be able to. You think people got encouraged? Listen to what the people, how they responded to Joshua. Verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Joshua is speaking. This young man is talking nonsense. He wants our children to go and die there. All the congregation bent stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation. God was listening to everything that was going on. And when they were about to stone Joshua and Caleb, then the glory of God manifested. See what happened. Here's what God says. In verse 24, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So God singles out people. He talks about Joshua, he talks about Caleb. He says, these people have another spirit. Joshua had another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. Although everyone else had the wrong spirit. We're living in bad days, brothers and sisters. Our environments are polluted. The question is, are you going to be like Joshua and Caleb? Where God says, these, they have a different spirit. No matter how bad the world is, we don't have an excuse. We can still keep a clean environment in our hearts. Let's not succumb to the filthy around. I don't care how many end time message churches have become compromised. Do you know some end time messages are walking in the foolishness of this world now? Women don't know how to dress now. Mingling with the denominations, we won't go down that path. We are of a different spirit. Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Now listen what God says. Say unto them, verse 28, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you, your carcasses. Now, God does not say your bodies. You know, carcass is not a good word. God says, nyamazano. Whom is he speaking to? People who are alive, they are not carcasses. In other words, they were carcasses in his eyes. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. You shall all die. Doubtless, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Osef, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. These and all the people who believed Joshua and Caleb, I'll protect them. Verse 31, but your little ones which you said should be pre, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And it came to pass exactly. All that generation, after waiting for 40 years, they didn't enter the promised land. God made sure they all perished. They all died. There was a gift waiting for them in Canaan. Do you know your gift is your journey to your greatness? Your gift is your journey to all the blessings God has in store for you. Your reward lies in your gift. I don't care whether your talent is just knitting or making it tumbua. That is where your greatness is. With focus and precision, your reward is in that. The Bible says your gift will make you appear before great men, right? But if you don't value it, and if you have an unhealthy environment around you, environment of unbelief, doubting the promise of God in you, you can wait for a long time. You will never see or come to fruition of that which God has kept for you. How is your environment? When you look around you, do you live by faith? What are you looking at? When you see that small bottle of oil, do you see a small bottle? What you see in your environment determines what you start doing about it. When I look at that small bottle of oil, I don't see like that woman saw, to say, I have nothing except a small bottle of oil. I'll tell you what I see. I see a bottle which God has provided. If he has provided the little thing he has put in my hand, I will trust him that he will sustain it. When Joshua went to spy the land of Canaan, what did he see? All the other guys, they said, we've seen the giants, we are no match for them. That's what they saw. They saw impossibility. What do you see in your environment? Joshua said, I see a good land flowing with milk and honey, which belongs to me. When you look at yourself, what do you see? So, oh, the doctor said, you know, I'm so sick, I'll die. Oh, this is what I see. God has given you breath today. The same power that makes you breathe is the same power that can heal you. What do you see? God was telling Moses, go, deliver the people. Says, Lord, you know, I don't speak well. I can't go. God said, what do you have in your hands? Says, I just have a stick. Do you know Moses delivered Israel using that stick? What do you see in your hands? So, oh, Brother Peter, I didn't go to school. No, no, don't look at that. What gift has God put in you? That is where your future lies in. That is where your blessing lies in. What do you see? It's either you have faith, or you will doubt what God has done for you. Watch out for those enemies which can hinder your growth. The third thing which can hinder the growth of your gift or the manifestation of God's favor in your life is Settling for less. Everyone says settling for less. Say it again. Daniel 11 verse 32.
Daniel 11 verse 32.
Daniel 11 verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. People who know their God shall be strong. And what shall they do? Exploits. What is the meaning of the English word exploit? Exploit means making full use and derive benefit from a resource. Exploit means using something to the fullest extent. Enjoying every benefit of it. You want to fully utilize it. But when a person believes they've arrived, you can't push them any further. Amen.
Amen.
You can never live beyond your belief. I'll repeat that. You can never live beyond what you believe. If a child passes number 5 in class and they are so excited, I passed, there are few chances that he will do better next time. He has settled for number
5.
If I get 80% in a test and I settle for that, so this is good. I've killed my potential to get 100%. A person who settles down and is comfortable where they are at, they won't fully exploit what God has in store for them. Now listen to me. You must be content with what God has given you. That does not mean you arrive when God says your journey is still long. I was listening to Brother Bonabanda. He mentioned a very interesting point. Remember what Jesus said? Some people bear 60-fold of fruit. They're like a seed, which others will be fruitful, they'll produce 60-fold, others 100-fold, others
20-fold.
Let's look at a 60-fold crop. That's the capacity of that crop. So once it reaches a 60-fold, God says, well done. Because that was its measured potential. Another one has 70-fold potential. Do you know that if a 70-fold crop produces 65-fold, that's not good. But to a 64, God says, well done. That was his measured capacity. But if God has given you a 100 capacity, and you achieve 60-fold of fruit, God rebukes you. Yet he says, well done to the one who has done 60-fold, because that's the capacity. When we die, saints, let us die like Paul. Paul says, I am like a drink offering which has been poured out. Let everything that is in you which God intended, let it fully manifest. Don't settle for less. When you settle for less to say tinafika, you are killing any zeal in you. You are killing all potential in you. Why? You think you've arrived. Since as long as I'm breathing, I haven't arrived. As long as I haven't died, there is still work I need to do. So God has put something in you, but are you using it? The more you use it, the more God will supply the measure of grace. But if you just feel, well, you wake up and that's what it is, God can never supply. Because when you feel you are full, the instruction is set that container aside. So as for me, I say, Lord, help me to be empty. Here is the secret. The containers were queued up. One which is full, what do you do? Set aside, right? But I can tell you a secret of how to keep on being online without being set aside. When it's your turn and you are filled, God pour it out. Help another empty container. Let your gift be of use. Come back in line and say, Lord, fill me. I need more. But the moment you think you are full, you will never be taught. You think you are perfect. You think you've achieved it. But every day I come in church, whoever is preaching, I say, Lord, let me learn what I need to learn today. I want to be a better version tomorrow. Forgive me for the mistakes I did today, I did yesterday. But help me. I can do better today. Every morning, help me, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And someone this morning, he feels on his own he is not enough. He wants a partner to increase his capacity. Well, that's Brother Max. You can stand up, brother. That's Brother Max from Manyepa. Brother Maxwell feels life is not enough alone. He approached us and said he wants to marry. Is that a good thing? Okay. So he looked around for another container to stand together in line. And this container, in case there are other men who are looking to borrow more containers, we need to announce that, oh, this container, it seems, is taken. That container, which you are saying, I was already taken by Brother Max. He approached me. Can that container stand, please? We don't know the name of that. Oh, that's the container. Kosa totera, ma container ya washto pasa.
Muzadabu wa wene wa kontena kuti ni ndani ana pereka kontena.
So we first want to see the family who allowed Brother Max. But on the side of the man, it's not really an issue because the man makes his decisions when he's of age, right? But hey, he has a parent who needs to say, yeah, we agree. You need a woman in your life. So we want to request those who are standing with Brother Maxwell, who say, yes, we are his relatives, we are the family, and we allowed him to do that. Can you show us that by standing up? Praise the Lord. Okay. We will ask them to introduce themselves. I believe that is Brother Manyepa, his father.
And this will be Brother Manyepa, Bawishi.
And well, I won't bother them to introduce themselves by themselves. But may I see the one who represents as a parent? You just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. God bless you. May I say the same for Ruth Kanchele? Those who are saying, yes, we agreed, we authorized that this girl can get married to Maxwell Manyepa. The parents, the family of the girl, will you show that by standing up? Praise the Lord. Look at the support system, very big, huh? God bless you. We'll request the families to sit down. I'll ask Brother Maxwell to come and stand here. We'll request the young lady to come here. So this is a beautiful thing. You can face the audience. So these are the people who approached us, saying they desire to make a family. Amen.
Amen.
And this is not a marriage ceremony, but it's what we call engagement. It is simply an official announcement to say these people are engaged and that closes all the doors of any hope for brothers who were looking on Ruth. So if a brother had been praying and fasting secretly, praying for Ruth, sorry, the prayer is not answered. It was already answered for someone else. Amen.
Amen.
So our desire is for these two to be engaged. But before we proceed, there could be a person who says, there is something I know about these people. They should not get married, actually. I'll give this occasion, this opportunity for us to see what reason one can have. And I won't repeat this during the wedding, because if anyone has an issue, you need to let us know now. So may we all bow our heads. If you feel these two should not proceed, you can please raise your hand. Every eye closed, please. Every eye closed. If you feel they should not move on, raise your hand. Hey, I'm seeing one hand raised. Every eye closed. Is that Western?
Western.
All right. Don't worry, Brother Manyapa. It's a very small little boy. And the father has told him to put his hand down. So maybe I think he misunderstood. He thought I'm calling an altar call or a prayer request. All right. God bless you. We may open our eyes. So there's no hand which was raised, except one who thought it was an altar call. All right. And if you haven't brought up an issue now, please don't see me outside to say no, but actually me, I had this and that. We gave the request openly.
And
if your mouth was quiet, let it be quiet also. From now henceforth. When one is getting engaged, there is a token which becomes a symbol to all people who will see the lady that she has been engaged, she's been taken. And so I'll request these two to step a little bit forward here and face each other. And this is where things begin. Now remember, when we read God's word in Genesis chapter
2
and verse 21, and the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Here I need to ask a very important question. Marriage is a man leaving his mother, father, the woman also leaves a family. She comes to submit under a man. Do you know what that means? When Ruth was born, and hey, we've seen these girls grow up. Hey, do you know she was a flower girl at Brother Nzima's wedding? Yeah. Very little girls, you know. She was calling it a surname. Why? She came from a certain family. Whatever her parents would speak, she was under the headship of that. But in case you don't know what marriage is, marriage means
Ruth
is making a commitment to now submit under a new head. She is now coming under the headship of Manyepa. The day they will become officially married, even when we call her, the name will change. If you can feel the energy which is here, their hearts are pumping. Now, what that will mean is, on that wedding day, she'll be Ruth Manyepa. There are some women who still keep their surname. Why are you holding on to your name? That's a worldly thing. When you are married, you take on the name of your husband. What that means is, he will become her father. He will become her head. It means she now submits. It means he becomes her voice. For them to come here, they are telling us they know what they are doing. In this church, and I should say in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no divorce. For them to come here, they've been asked questions. They are saying they know each other. They want to make a family. Tomorrow there is nothing like, no, this is when I've discovered in Mfuiti Manyepa. So for you to make this decision, it means you've made the decision. There's nothing tomorrow. You know, this is when I've discovered, you know, there is this habit in her. Nothing like that. They are making a commitment to become one in their life. Now listen to me. They want to do this thing in Christ. And here is a little secret. Marriage in Christ is very enjoyable. It's a real joy, I can tell you that. In the world, they call it Shipikisha Club. In Christ, there's nothing like that. At least we've been married for a couple of years now, right?
Amen.
We are qualified to say there is joy in marriage. And we want to wish these two all the best in their union. But I need to tell them they are making a commitment to become one. At the wedding day, they will speak their vows. For now, it's an announcement. They are making their intentions known that they want to get married. Brother Manyepa, are you ready for the things I've talked about, that what you are entering in? You are becoming a head to her? You provide for her?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Whether you are nesi, wazambo, sevenza, even kuziwa, you are the provider. Do you know that's what it is? Nothing like tonze tisevenza, fakapo nine and
fakapo.
Ija izambo ngaracha be, by the way, makufuna kwake. Amen, women. The handsomeness of a man It's not how nice he looks.
Aenda na mbaba shop achitaka haircut.
Aenda na mbaba shop abena ka
na. Uyo si handsomeness wa mwamuna. Actually, when a man spends 30 minutes on the mirror, that's not a man, he's a problem. The handsomeness of a man is provision and protection of a family. Whether Abueran what dot in a greasy man that choco sevens, I respect him. That's a man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The beauty of a woman is not how she looks. Say, oh, she has 32 teeth. Her body belt looks good. That's just a bonus. It's not the real deal. The real deal is character. That's the real deal about a woman. The beauty is not how she looks. Because right now, she looks good. All her dental is in place. 10 years from now, she won't look like this. Is that true? Over time, her hair won't look black as it looks. You like it or not, she won't look like this. If you want evidence, muakope picture, it's having an. See it after 20 years. Step will change. Because they say after birth there is alignment which goes out of place. Wrinkles will start showing. If he marries her for those physical things, it means his love will start reducing as those physical features begin to fall apart. The beauty of a woman is her character. The beauty of a woman is her submission to the man. The beauty of a woman is her quietness when the husband is rebuking her. Not the man is trying to speak. That's not beauty. A woman is humility, submission. That's what adds color to a woman. What adds color to a woman is not diproso for her to bleach her skin. A borrowed wig. So she has Brazilian. Those things are not part of her. It's character. Does she fear God? Is she submissive? Does she keep her home? Not every time I kuliba nzake lero atandara uku lero atandara uku. Ukwashela ukapeleka gossip. A woman is a homemaker. She stays home. She's already prepared the food you need to eat. Ndiye ukazi wewe. Hallelujah, amen. Kati kawa imbekeza soni shivalema. Massaging the feet, you know.
Amen.
Sister Martha, did you hear that? Amen. That's a woman who takes care in the ways of her husband. Now listen to me. That has to come from her heart. If humility is not her nature,
Amen.
Amen.
Humility has to come from our heart. She has to accept, this is my position as a woman. You can call counselors. Finish the whole syllabus. First month, kuzankara ni my love, chabe, my sweetheart. Na kugwada maningi walendo wakabwela. Kuone sati wagwadi lakuli wa muna wawo. Brother, reality will settle in as you move on. Whether truly she is humble to you or not. But if you want to keep your marriage, be the real deal inside. Do we say amen, congregation?
Amen.
Brother,
Bamina,
you've already accepted.
Now,
Sister Ruth, do you accept the things we are speaking?
Yes, I do.
You do? Thank you. Brother Manyapa, what token do you want to show these people that she's taken? Mwai wana kala.
Anamu wana kala.
Wone kaya love, chapa. Put it here. No. Just put it here. I'll ask the elders of the assembly, Brother Chavula, Brother Mansa. Put your hand here. Put your hand on the Bible. Put your hand here. Let us just lay our hands on this brother and sister. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this token of their engagement into your hands. As they make this decision, help them, Lord. Give them wisdom and grace that, Lord, as they make this important step, give them wisdom and grace. Unite them in oneness. Any evil spirit which may want to interfere in this union, we rebuke and we cast out that evil thing in Jesus' name. We pray for joy and peace upon this decision they're making. Even as we pray for this token of a ring, as the brother puts it on the ring, on the finger of his soon-to-be bride and wife, Lord, we consecrate this ring that whenever the young girl shall see it, she will remember the covenant they are making here in the name of Jesus. Upon the laying of the hands of these elders, we pray, Lord, asking for their blessing, asking for a blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Manyapa, you can take this ring and put it on the sister. Show us Tuntunguru. You can face the audience. My sister, you can show them you are engaged. Kosayopa. God bless you. Shall we stand and celebrate?